Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. How is everybody doing out there in Big 12 Nation? What's going on, Big 12 Nation? Bear with me today. It will be very foggy and very cloudy. So I'm very sorry for this, but please try and get through. Please try and get through some of the skippiness and the echoing. Very sorry. Crazy morning. Technology, it can do that to you. Now, let's get back to the show and the thing that we love talking about, and that is college football. Man, what a weekend. Week two. It's like this, guys. It's like every time like it gets to week three, the season flies after that. You ever notice that? Like it'll be like, oh, we can't wait. It takes forever for week one, then week two is here, and then like week three. Then after that, you look up and it's like, boom, it's November in like 2 seconds. Let's get to the scores. And I want to talk about some of the posts I made. Everybody is doing a great job staying involved with Big 12 Nation. I'm loving the posts. I'm loving how we're sharing stuff. I'm loving how we're going back and forth, keeping the thing. Let's promote our own conference because people always talk about SEC this, Big Ten that. Well, I happen to think Big 12 is the best conference. I don't care. It's right in the heart of Texas, runs up through I-35. I-35 is Big 12. Yes, we lost Colorado and Nebraska, and I saw that game this past weekend. But, you know, we still have 10 pretty good teams, and hopefully at some point we add two more teams, and I hope we don't lose any teams to expansion. That will be a big deal to me. So let's talk Texas Tech. Texas Tech was pretty mad, and they won 77-0, which they should versus Lamar. Alex Bowman he was 22-25 for 282 yards and two TDs, and they also had 7 rushing touchdowns, so they kept it on the ground and did what they needed to do. Outside of that, Cliff Kingsbury, you know, that's good they responded like that, and I'm happy for him. I hope he can get 8 wins this year because people in Lubbock are on edge. I know they're okay with 7 and 8 win seasons, but at some point, they're going to want a streak here of 8-9 win seasons. They're going to want a top 3 Big 12 finish. You know, maybe not a Big 12 title, but at some point, they're going to want a top 3 Big 12 finish. So the big fish in the pond right now are West Virginia and Oklahoma. Everybody else looks on the rise, we'll see. In good news, I should say, our Kansas Jayhawks won a game. Now, how about that, guys? Is that not awesome or what? Kansas won a game, and they didn't win a game. They won a game on the road, guys. How awesome is that? I'm not being sarcastic. We got to give props where props is due. And we give David Betty and them a hard time when they lose. And they actually won a game. So, guys, you know what? Let's give them a round of applause. That's the right way. When I was younger, I should say round of applause because I didn't know what they were saying. Now I know it's a round of applause. So let's give them that. And congrats. They actually did it by running the ball a lot on the ground. This kid named Puka Williams Jr. had 125 rushing yards in 2 TDs, and he averaged way more than 5 yards a carry. So, I mean, congrats to, you know, those guys. And I'm very happy for him. So, good job, Kansas. Now, when you come home next week, you got Rutgers. Rutgers is not that great of a Big Ten team. I think they can beat Rutgers. So, let's hope so. If they can beat Rutgers, I think they got Oklahoma State that might come in town, and one other, and then I think they're going to roll to Baylor. If they can find a way to win four or five games, at least if they win five games, I would hope they'd give David Bettey a chance one more year to get six, go 6-6, get a bowl game. If they're just done with it after 5 years or 4 years, I understand, but if they can get five wins this year somehow, some way, then the man looks like he's improving. How you lost at home to Nickel State, we won't bring that up. And, you know, we'll see. There's really nothing else to say. Now let's jump on over to Oklahoma. Oklahoma destroyed UCLA, okay? Kyler Murray had 306 passing yards, guys. I'm going to say that again, 306. Wow. That dude is awesome. Now, he did have some interceptions, so there is room for improvement. There is definitely room for getting better and doing things a little better. But that's awesome to me that, you know, you lose a kid, number one overall, and then steps in a kid who's playing like this. So amazing job by Oklahoma, and hopefully they can represent us in Big 12, and if not, it'll be them or West Virginia or whoever. So anyway, Oklahoma State won, I think they won like 55-19, 55-14. Great job by those guys. However, Taylor Cornelius did have two interceptions, and I'm pretty sure Coach Gundy wants to get that fixed before Boise State rolls into town. Now, let's talk about Kansas State loss. I hear a lot of people saying on the page, hey, the Big 12's down, the Big 12's not doing so good this year, or whatever. I usually try and wait until week 8, guys, to make that assessment. The reason why I try and wait till week 8 to make that assessment is because, as you guys know, since I started this blog, this podcast, this radio show, whatever you want to call it, I've always brought up, either was it 2013 or 14, where TCU and Baylor should have been finished in the top four, and they claim SEC this, SEC that, Ole Miss this, Mississippi State that, and Ole Miss got absolutely walloped by TCU in the Peach Bowl. So I always try and wait, and it's kind of ironic because, look, Dak Prescott ends up playing for the Dallas Cowboys. That's right in the heart of Big 12 Nation. How crazy is that, guys, that type of situation ends up happening? Now, I want to talk Kansas State loss. They lost 31-10, but I don't see anything there that would be suspect. They were in the game. They don't pass the ball a whole lot. They do what Bill Snyder says, and if they pass the ball a lot, it would be 65-7, like you see some of these other games. So they did exactly what needed to be done. Mississippi State just had better players. They were just outmanned. You could out-scheme all you want to. The best thing would have been if Kansas State could have ran the ball effectively. They couldn't. Their defense was solid. They didn't give up, you know, a bunch of points. They did force Ole Miss to kick field goals, but it is what it is. Everybody wants to say, oh, well, you know, SEC school. Because, okay, when West Virginia and Kansas State play, it might be a totally different ball game. Everybody knows West Virginia whooped Tennessee. Speaking of the West Virginia game, guys, we don't know what's going on with that right now. I'm pretty sure they will play. But the storms are looking very scary in North Carolina. I was actually looking on the TV this morning, and it's saying it's going to hit the Outer Banks. If anybody knows about Raleigh is not far from the coast at all. So we will see what happens with West Virginia and North Carolina State. Now, Iowa State lost 13-3 to their nemesis, Iowa. My only question about Iowa State is, okay, Matt Campbell's doing what he needs to do. He's running the ball, spreading it out, keeping it close, kind of like he did last year, and then finding a way to win, having a different strategy rather than throwing the ball down the field all the time, which I think Cliff Kingsbury could learn from. I know he has tempo, but if Cliff Kingsbury could use that tempo and slow it down a little bit, he wouldn't have to play 62-49 games against teams that he competes with. But whatever. So they have David Montgomery at Iowa State, and they also have Kyle Kemp back. So I don't really see anything that's wrong with their situation. I think they should be rolling and they should be winning. But maybe it's just the fact that they were the only team, I believe, in Big 12 Nation that didn't play the week before. I think everybody else in the conference played except Iowa State in week one. So they could be out of rhythm. They're supposed to have, obviously, a cupcake game that week, and that gets you in rhythm. That gets you your timing down. It gets you in, you know. So them having to just come out and play without having a practice game, as I call them, glorified scrimmages, and I don't hate on them like the other networks do. I actually love them. I think they're great for college football because these other kids who can't be recruited and play at these big schools, now they have a chance to show why they should have been able to play. Also, it gives a lot of money to those smaller schools that can give full scholarships to kids. I think those are great, but I think that's part of the problem up there in Ames. I'm pretty sure Matt Campbell will win 7 games this year somehow, and I think they should be okay. But sadly, it was rough, and, you know, they didn't come out on top. It was an ugly, you know, 1970s type game, 13-3, and I like those games. TCU, on the other hand, blew out SMU 42-12, their cross-town rivals. Easy win over in Dallas. That was a rain delay game, and that game was on Friday night, so I actually checked it out. I was pretty frustrated that they couldn't do what they were supposed to do, but that's how the cards fold sometimes. Now, let's talk about Texas. Texas was up 21-0, I believe, at halftime. They finished 28-21. A lot of Texas fans are angry, upset, and mad, and claim this about Sam Ehlinger, that, well, here's the deal. Ehlinger was 21-28, no interceptions this time, 237 yards, and obviously 2 touchdowns. And then you got Keontae Ingram, who averaged 6.4 yards a carry. And on top of the 6.4 yards a carry, the man had a touchdown. And a lot of Texas fan base's argument is they've been going a lot with the, I can't remember his last name, but the first name is Trey, because he is a fifth-year senior from Cal. They've been going with him a lot more. So people were worried about with Tom Herman. So the argument is Shane Bouchel is more experienced. Why do you stay with Sam Ehlinger? Obviously, we know what Tom Herman wants. But what Tom Herman has to realize is that he played his cards wrong to an extent, because one of these years you probably want Shane to. Next year is Shane's last year eligibility. And I thought this offseason he would definitely have transferred to USF with Coach Strong. But I wouldn't be surprised if Shane's just playing his cards right, and what he's doing is getting his free education from the University of Texas, finishing his bachelor's degree this year, maybe finishing early, like at the end of the summer, and then come next fall, transfer somewhere else, have another year of eligibility or a grad year, because he still has 5 years to play for. That's the NCAA rule. So we'll see how long Shane Bouchel is going to sit there, or maybe he's comfortable doing that and he wants to coach one day. I don't know, but I think he's a talented kid, and he definitely deserves a chance to be the starting quarterback. But back to that 28-20, they were up 21-0, and then they finished with 28-21 win. So they only scored once in the second half, and then Tulsa scored 3 times. And I didn't like that on a lot of the Longhorns blogs and a lot of their fan pages on social media and YouTube. They're saying, oh, this is a lowly Division I team. No. Tulsa has Phillip Montgomery, who obviously you guys know was connected to Charlie Strong's offensive coordinator. His name doesn't come to mind, but it's the guy who was the offensive coordinator the first year when Shane Bouchel was a freshman at University of Texas. Anybody can put on the page what his name is. It's not coming to my head right now. But basically, Tulsa has always had an explosive loss offense. It's just like UCF. You can't say UCF is a low, Division I team when they beat Auburn's ass last year in a bowl game. And then on top of that, they were undefeated, and they're in the same conference as Tulsa. So don't think because somebody's not a Power 5 school, they won't kick your butt. That's exactly why Boise State in every bowl game every year kicks people's ass, because people think, oh, nine Power Five. And I know everybody's like, well, it's Boise State. Everybody takes them like a Power Five. You take all these teams like they're Power Fives. If they have winning records, if they have winning tradition, that's why y'all seen Ole Miss almost lose to Southern Illinois. If they have winning records and they have athletes on scholarship, you got to remember, half of those kids wanted to play up and they might have got missed by recruits. The other half of the kids are Division I recruits who transferred down because they weren't getting playing time at a Power 5 school. So we got to think. Everybody wants to just think, oh, because it's not a Power 5 school, Texas is supposed to wipe these people out. Is it upsetting? Yes, because Texas should have played this game a heck of a lot better. I felt like they should have came out and scored 42 points, being that these fans in Austin, Texas, are really anxious and they're on edge. And now they're comparing it to Charlie Strong and saying, damn, we could have just kept Charlie Strong for this. And honestly, guys, Charlie Strong would have had a better record, but I do think Charlie Strong would have beat Maryland both times. Speaking of him, he's undefeated again at USF. So who knows, maybe Texas this time with Tom Herman, with all the money, they just need to wait it out 5 years. They gave Charlie 3 and got rid of him. If Tom has a similar record, maybe this time, just wait it out 5 years. Because people's biggest beef is they're too sophisticated. They're making it too difficult. Or, you know, him with the mice of men, or men of mice, whatever the hell book is, I don't know. Y'all know what I'm talking about. That's too difficult and sophisticated for the kids. So, we'll see. Give the man some time. We will see. And I definitely expected them to score more points. I was not shocked that Tulsa scored 21 points. They're an explosive offense. Phillip Montgomery will be probably a Power 5 coach here in the next 5 years or so. He comes from that school of Chad Morris and all those guys. So he's a solid coach. So that part I wasn't surprised about, but the part that Texas couldn't score 42 points, I was surprised about. Okay, so let's go on to next week's scores, and we will make our way around college football on the storylines. I know Texas A&M got screwed over. I didn't like that call. I know they're not part of Big 12 Nation anymore, but I didn't like that call that the official made a spot call that it was a touchback, because that ball you could not clearly see went out of the end zone or not. It just flew in the air and it looked more out than in. And that was a chance for Texas A&M to score that game or potentially win. But whatever. What happens, move on. And they're not looking bad under Jimbo Fisher. They're talking trash about Texas fans, though. They think they got it going on. So, guys, here is what is going on in Big 12 Nation this week. We got Oklahoma at Iowa State. Iowa State is probably not going to win this game, being that Oklahoma looks damn good, but you never know what happened or what can happen. Because Oklahoma is avenging a loss, but at the same time, Iowa State can play that game knowing that in the back of their head they beat you the last time you met and you don't have Baker Mayfield. But I doubt that. I think Oklahoma will be pissed. And Oklahoma wins this game 31-17, 31-14-ish, something like that. Let me know if you disagree or not. Also, let's talk Kansas versus Rutgers. Now, damn it, Kansas. You guys did a good job against Central Michigan. Rutgers is the equivalent of you in the Big Ten. If we want to show everybody in the whole world, or in the whole college football world, I should say, that the worst Big 12 team school is better than the worst Big Ten team school, then damn it, we've proved a lot. And I'll be daggone happy. Even though it's not going to look good because Texas is probably our mediocre school and Maryland is probably a lower Big Ten school. And like I said before, when Ohio State plays Maryland, they'll probably score like 60, 70 points on them. And they couldn't score that many points or stop them when Texas played them. But that's another subject. The big one this weekend, or one of the big ones, I should say, we got three big ones, but one of the big ones out of conference, Boise State at Oklahoma State. Damn, guys. Cowboys fans, this is a hard one to predict. You're ranked 24th, Boise 17th. Boise doesn't give a damn where they play at. They play good on the road, and they play good at home. Shoot. I know people in Big 12 Nation are going to be mad at me, but I'm going to be a realist in this one. And I'm going to say, shoot, I'm going to say, damn it, man. I want to say Boise State 45, Oklahoma State 38. Oklahoma, Boise State's tough. They're tough. They play their asses off. They're a tough school. So, damn it. Sorry, Cowboys. I'm a Big 12 Nation guy, but I don't know this year with your, how do you say? I don't know this year with your quarterback throwing two interceptions against South Alabama, how you're going to fare against a solid team like Boise State with good tradition and good athletes. Next, you got Duke at Baylor. Duke just went on the road and kicked with Northwestern's butt at Northwestern. I'm going with Duke all the way. If Baylor wins this one, hats off to Matt Rule, and they start off 3-0, I'm impressed. But if what I think I saw is any part of true last weekend, I'm going to have Duke winning this game over Baylor 27-14 or 27-19, something like that. Maybe Baylor gets two touchdowns and a field goal. But, yes, I know. There's two games in a row I picked against Big 12 Nation, but I'm a realist, guys. West Virginia at North Carolina State. Okay. So, West Virginia at North Carolina State, I'm going to go, obviously, West Virginia. Depending on what happens with the, how do you say it, guys, the hurricane or the storm, it could go either way. If West Virginia plays at NC State, I say West Virginia wins by 10 points, a touchdown or 10 points. However, if West Virginia plays at home because of the storm, West Virginia wins by like 3 or 4 touchdowns. West Virginia blows them out if they have to move the game to Morgantown. Easy pick. Next, last week, Baylor got UTSA, a tough team, same principles as Bill Snyder. They played at Kansas State. UTSA is a tough team. They played Arizona State first, and they played Baylor last week. Now they're playing Kansas State. So UTSA, Kansas State, very similar offenses, very similar defenses, very similar philosophies. We're going to go it's going to be a boring game. 24-13 Kansas State. That'll be it. 24-13 Kansas State. Now, USC versus Texas. And I know some damn Texas fans are anxious because they want to see what's going to happen here. Sam Ellinger is going to turn the ball over. However, Trey Watson is a fifth-year running back that's solid. And Keyonte Ingram is a very talented freshman. I don't know how I'm going to put this together. All right, so Ellinger's probably going to turn the ball over. Let's say, let's say Texas 24, USC 28. I don't think Texas gets it done. If they do get it done, Tom Herman's in the right direction, and I think the fans lay off of him. But I just don't think after losing to Maryland and the lackluster performance against Tulsa, they get the job done. However, that could be a ploy to them looking ahead to USC and over-preparing for USC because they know this is a statement game for the program in the Tom Herman era. But I see it being another tight game, and I see USC finding a way to win. And if anybody wants to say, well, they only scored 3 points on Stanford, there's a lot of damn teams in America that would only score 3 points on Stanford. Most teams wouldn't score anything on it because they run the ball, they punch you in your mouth, they keep your offense off the field, and their offense is very hard to stop because they got a bunch of O-linemen going in four-point stances, moving you the hell out the way, knocking you on the ground, and beating you up for 4 quarters. So that's my prediction. And then last but not least, man, this is a rough week for Big 12 Nation. Last but not least, TCU Ohio State. That's the big one. That's the one everybody's talking about. College game day will be in Fort Worth. The Big 12 Network's headquarters is in Dallas, Fort Worth area. This is a big damn deal, guys. This will be a big game, and situation is very critical, excuse me, for our conference. And, damn, Ohio State scored 70-7 on Oregon State and, like, 50 on this other team. I always wish TCU could get the upset. I would really love TCU to have the upset. However, damn, this is tough. However, I'm going to be real. If TCU runs the ball and keeps Ohio State's offense off the field and Ohio State gets that jet lag from losing that hour of time zone, but they didn't have that problem when they played Oklahoma a couple years and they kicked Oklahoma butts on their own field. It's at Jerry's World, good atmosphere. I think it'll be a close game first half, and then Ohio State will pull away in the third quarter. I'm going to go Ohio State 34, TCU 14, or Ohio State 42, TCU 28. That's just a tough one to decide. I already said last but not least, but I'm saying it again, damn it. Sorry, I'm human. I make mistakes. Texas Tech plays Houston. Houston came off a big win versus Arizona. I'm sure Aggie fans are laughing because Sumlin era is not looking good in Arizona. However, Texas Tech looked pretty pissed off last week. Texas Tech plays good at home. I think this game, Kendall Browse wants to throw the ball 700 times. I give this edge to Texas Tech. Cliff Kingsbury, he knows the situation he has in Lubbock. He knows he has to win. His team's going to play pissed off. So I'm going to go Texas Tech 62 and Houston 45. So Texas Tech 62, Houston 45. And that's your wrap it for Big 12 Nation this week. Everybody have a good one. And appreciate it. Sorry for the technical difficulties. If the sound is screwed up when I listen to a playback, I'll do another one. Don't be scared to call in. Don't be scared to voice your opinion. Keep posting on the page. Let's promote our conference. Let's keep this going. Love you, everybody. Peace. Big 12 Nation. Let's have a good week of work and hopefully another good week in college football. Everybody have a good one. Peace.